Hi, today is April 28th, 2013. This is Mobile Views podcast number 62. And with me is my friend Jay Stone. Today we're going to talk about a topic that's kind of been in the news. It's about when old tech is good enough. And the thing is, in our last Mobile Views podcast way back in January 2013, Jay and I talked about Apple's stock price drop back then. And in fact, its stock price has been falling steadily for the month since dipped under 400 from a high of 700 just recently. I think it slightly recovered. But some people say that Apple's problems is because iOS devices, which are responsible for the majority of its revenues now, over 50%, and it may have problems for them because people are opting to buy older, cheaper, and even free devices like the iPhone 4.
That's me.
Yep.
I did that.
And this isn't just about the iPhone and iPad, because Microsoft is seeing a problem on the software side. People are not upgrading to Windows 8. And in my opinion, it's a good reason. If you don't have a touchscreen, it doesn't make any sense to upgrade to Windows 8. But for more importantly, Windows 7 is good enough. It's good enough tech on pretty old computers, really. You can have a 4 or 5 year old computer, and Windows 7 probably runs pretty comfortably on it, and you may not have any reason to upgrade, and Windows 8 doesn't bring you any new features, so there's no reason to upgrade the software either. So this is causing a problem for you know, a bunch of companies now, is how do they grow their market when the product they already have is good enough. And Jan, I kind of like that. Jay, you still have an iPad run, right?
Yeah, I use my iPad 1.
And
I had an iPad before I had an iPhone.
Yeah, that's right. You have a 3G iPad, as I recall.
Yes, I got the 3G AT&T.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, there was only AT&T.
Right. And are you still grandfathered into the unlimited plan?
Yes. Yes, I am. They got me. I will never, ever, ever quit because of that. So fortunately, I hope the class action lawsuit wins. But I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, and I still have an iPad 2. So, you know, I'm not much newer than you. I did buy an iPad mini last year, but in the scheme of things, although Apple made money off of me from that purchase, it's really a small iPad 2 in terms of performance and display. It doesn't have, you know, in terms of display, it doesn't have Retina, so I've never had a Retina display on an iPad. And on the other side, I still use a note. Let's see, I think I bought my notebook in 2011, so it's over 2 years old now, and it's still running Windows 7. I have no intention on buying or upgrading to Windows 8. Really don't need to buy a new computer until this one breaks. And I think Jay and I were just comparing notes before this podcast, and we both found that we have 5-year-old iMacs. Mine is actually, yours is a little bit newer actually.
Mine was early 2008.
Yeah, and I must have bought the last of the mid-2007 models. I bought mine in January 2008. And it's running Mountain Lion, so, you know, Apple made a few bucks off of me in software upgrades, but I haven't bought a new Mac since, you know, beginning of 2008, so it's over 5 years now, and I guess you're pretty close to that.
Yeah, but I did upgrade my memory before I got Mountain Lion or Lion.
Yeah.
One of them. I think it was Lion, Snow Leopard. You know, I forget there's which one anymore. But one of the previous operating systems, I went and bought a memory. In fact, my iPad's so old. Not my iPad, my iMac's so old. I couldn't buy the memory compatible with iMac from Apple.
Oh, really? So you had to go third party.
I called Apple. I wanted to get, because, you know, I had an old iMac, like, well, Blueberry.
Yeah.
Years ago, and I got third-party memory.
Yeah,
and it kept on failing, and so I had Apple Care or whatever you used to call it back then. Guy came out, he checked it. He said it's a third-party memory. He said always buy it from us, you know, from Apple.
Right.
And sometimes third-party memory, there's something about it. Not the memory's bad, but just how it doesn't it doesn't always work with the Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's one of the disadvantages of Apple, right? Excuse me. Oh, my hiccups are back. See, I told you they'll just come and go. So when I called for the upgrade, Apple Store Online wouldn't sell it to me. So I said, "Well, what do I do?" I told him the story, and he said, "Okay, hold on." And he told me where to buy it from.
Right.
But I don't remember. I have an email someplace, and he said that's the third-party place that has the best memory for a Mac. And so, I don't know, I took a... And it was so easy to install. It's ridiculous.
Really? I never upgraded my iMac.
They make it very easy. I mean, I take out a couple things and you just pop it in.
Now, is yours the one that you have to take off the whole screen to install memory, or is that...
No.
Okay.
Mine's, it comes in, there's a little slot on the back.
Yeah.
Pops right in.
Oh, nice. I guess mine must be... Well, mine is older, so it might be similar. I still have, I think, only 2 gigs of RAM in mine or something.
Yeah, I mean, my old Blueberry, I used to have to take physically the thing apart. You had to pull the plastic casing off the back.
Right.
And then have the CRT up, and then you could pop out from the... And you had to take other pieces out. And it was scary, too, because they were pretty flimsy. And then I had to pop the memory in. But yeah, my Mac is fine.
Yeah, so you know, do you have any inclination? So you say, okay, so you're running you have an iPad 1, the original.
Yep.
And you're running an iPhone 4.
Yep.
And we both have the 2008, well, actually, not we both. We both bought our iMacs in 2008, although yours is a newer model. So, you know, we really, there's a couple of things, at least we really haven't upgraded to the latest and greatest. And, are you feeling the need, especially in the iPad? Because the iPad 1 is, you know, it doesn't have a camera, so you can't use it for Skype and that sort of thing.
Well, you can use it for Skype.
I'm sorry, we can't use it for video conferencing.
Oh, you can't use it for video conferencing.
Yeah.
That is one of the disadvantages. There isn't video conferencing. But I used to go to Guam at my old company.
Right.
I go like every other month. My coworker, remember Andy?
Yeah, sure.
Right? So, Andy Maison, he was the one, he and I went to Guam one time, and he told me, hey, just use Skype. And we went to a coffee shop. I already had Skype, and then I set it up. I got myself some Skype minutes, and I was calling my family back at home.
Oh, so you got some dial-out to a real phone.
Yeah. So, and I, you know, I had my Apple... earbuds with the microphone, so I would call home that way, and it was so cheap. So actually, before I got an iPhone, I was trying to figure out a way to quit my cell phone with just my iPad. I was trying to do everything with my iPad because I didn't want a data plan
right
on my phone because it was just too costly. And if I was going to get a phone, I would get, well, I already have an iMac, Apple TV, an iPad. I might as well get an iPhone.
Right.
But the iPhone was too expensive. And then you had to tack on the data, right? So I was trying to figure out a way to save some money by quitting my regular cell phone and just use everything through my iPad. But I couldn't find a way to make it cheaper than to stick with my T-Mobile on my regular feature phone.
Right.
But if I could figure out a way to have done that, I would have right off the bat, because I didn't want to have a phone and then that. It's not that. I was just trying to save money. You know. Now everyone in our family has an iPhone. I'm not really saving money, but it was free.
Right. So you did not opt to buy whatever the latest and greatest model was at the time you got your iPhone.
I just couldn't. I really thought about it. I'm like,
right. But
should I even go for the 4S?
Right. And that was that the latest phone available when you opted for your phone?
No, it was the iPhone 5.
iPhone 5 was already available?
Yes.
Okay.
It was right after that. When the iPhone 5 came out, the iPhone 4 went free with a contract.
Right.
iPhone 4S was like $99 with a contract. And so we started to look around at changing our family plan from T-Mobile to Verizon or AT&T. And we came up with, for our family, it made more sense for us to all go to Verizon. And then, and it's not a plug for Verizon, it's just for us it made sense.
Right.
And go
with all free phones. iPhone 4s.
For my older daughter.
Okay.
For my older daughter, I got her an iPhone 5.
Okay.
That was her birthday present or Christmas present or something. And my younger daughter, I asked her, I said, I'll buy it for your birthday present or Christmas present. And I asked her, do you want one? And she chose to go with iPhone
Really?
She chose because she's like, it's just not work for her. She's a little more money conscious than my older daughter.
Mm-hmm.
A little more. Well, I told you, yeah, she saved up her money for a few couple years to buy her own iPod Touch.
I remember that.
She bought a 64 gig, and she saved. She would do chores around the house. She would save her birthday money, kind of gift money, until she had. She went and she paid cash herself for exactly the iPod Touch that she wanted. And when she looked at the she researched it herself. She looked at what an iPhone 5 was, an iPhone 4S, and an iPhone 4. And she looked at all the different things, and she went. For her, she felt it wasn't. She just didn't want us to spend that money. She said it wasn't worth it for what she would do with it.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know if she agrees with that now.
Right.
But at the time, that was I let her make that decision. You know, and I think.
Right, and so therein lies the problem for Apple, right? I mean, the iPhone 4 is simply good enough.
It is. I mean, it's a really good phone. I mean, when you think about it, all the things you get with it, it's you didn't really need to improve it that much. Even in my mind, you didn't even need a bigger screen. I mean, I got big, fat, you know, thumbs. So I'm not the best, you know, texter, but I'm not texting all the time.
Right.
And I don't use my iPhone to do real work. I mean, I do like a little bit of email. I use my if I have my iPad with me, I'd use my iPad. Because it's bigger screen and bigger keyboard, so when you look at it, it's I don't think the iPhone 4 is a better phone, but I agree with you, Todd. It's a fine device,
right? And
much more than that.
And that's you know that's a huge problem for Apple. I mean, you think about it. I think come this June, the iPhone 4 is going to be what a full 2 years old. It was released summer of 2011, something like that. So, or, you know, or September or something. So, here, you know, we have a phone that is now, you know, two generations older than the current, iPhone 4, 4S, and 5. And it's good enough. You know, you guys feel pretty comfortable with it, apparently.
It's Retina, right?
Yes, iPhone 4 is a Retina display.
Yeah, so it's a better display than my iPad 1.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. The only thing about it, that isn't as cool as an iPhone 5 is a camera. It's a good camera, but the iPhone 5 camera is just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to I'm not talking about other cameras out there, just between iPhone 4 and iPhone 5.
Yeah. And in fact, the 4S has the improved camera already. So even the 4S gives you that camera bump.
Well, the other thing too is my older daughter has it and she can do that panoramic thing.
Right, that's really nice.
What are they? I don't know what they call it, but you know where you move it and then it...
Right, right. Yeah, it's a panorama feature built into the iPhone.
And that's like, it's... I mean, I do like it that it's thinner. I don't necessarily like that it's a bigger screen. But I like the thinness of the iPhone 5, but that camera is just so good. For a phone, that's a good camera. I mean, not just clarity, but the color.
Yes.
The brightness, the crispness. I mean, I you can tell the difference between a picture I take with my phone and a picture my daughter takes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can. Well, I think I can. I'm not an expert, but
yeah.
Pictures look better than mine, I think.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm
bad at taking pictures.
Yeah. I moved from a 4 to a 5. You know, I skipped the 4S because that wasn't within my contract period. I would say that the 5 is a better camera. I'm not sure I can tell the difference. I took a look at one of my old photos and a new photo, but, you know, I'll take your word for it. It's kind of an interesting observation. And definitely there is a bump in simple resolution. I think it goes from 5 to 8 megapixels from the 4 to the 4S and 5. And you know, presumably Apple has done something with the firmware to take advantage of those extra megapixels. But Apple certainly does have, you know, among the best looking pictures. I mean, you know, megapixels don't tell the whole story. There's some other magic going on in there in a software site to make these pictures look good. And in general, most of the other phones I've tried really don't have good pictures. I would say the Nexus 4, which is what I use these days for my main voice phone, has a pretty decent camera. I'm not sure I would say it's as good as the iPhone 5, but I've been forcing myself to use it, you know, like every day for the last couple of weeks, and I would say it takes pretty good photos. The camera in the Nexus 4. I would use, you know, I use the phone itself because it's my main voice phone. But I really wasn't using the camera much because, well, like you said, the iPhone 5 and prior to that, the iPhone 4's camera was so much better than any other phone I used. There was no reason for me to use a camera. But I'll have to say that I do like what I'm seeing in Nexus 4's camera. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of not upgrading, you know, Android has its own problem because the manufacturers themselves aren't using the newest and, you know, greatest version of Android there. Even though Jelly Bean 4.2 is out, companies like HTC and, you know, I'm not sure about Samsung, maybe not Samsung, but HTC are shipping phones with 4.1 point, you know, something. So they're not using the latest and greatest version of Jelly Bean.
I mean, that's not right in my mind. I mean, as a consumer, I think consumers should really be upset about that.
Well, you know, but that's an interesting thing. You know, as tech has become good enough for most people, I mean, I would say that most people find a 4 or 5 year old computer, for example, good enough. It's not a big hassle like it was in old days where, you know, a 4 year computer would be considered really slow. And I think one of the problems that manufacturers or companies are having now is that, you know, you'll get a phone that's 2 years old. Maybe it's running an old version of Android, but it's good enough.
Well, I guess I look at it like this, right? I mean, I don't have an Android. I just remember when my daughter had one.
Right.
After a while, they wouldn't upgrade. So whatever bug she had in the system, they remained. They never got fixed.
Now, that's a good point, you know, and that's a big... I don't know if most consumers realize it, but that's a big difference between Android and iPhones or Apple's iOS is that Apple does a pretty good job of letting you upgrade your phone for, you know, at least, you know, more than one cycle. So an iPhone 4, for example, which is now 2 years or going to be 2 years old soon, can run iOS 6 point, you know, whatever it is right now. But if you bought an Android phone 2 years ago, you probably still don't have Jelly Bean 4.2 on it.
In my mind, it's not that I'm running the latest software. It's I'm running software that's not that as buggy. Like, my iPad 1, I think I can only go up to full... I can't go up to iOS 6.
Yes, you cannot. Right. That's correct.
But I'm up at a certain level, right?
Right.
And for majority of what I do with it, the apps that I use, it's not buggy. And then the ones that aren't that compatible, it tells me when I upgrade. You know, when I get the update?
Yes.
When I open up App Store, it'll say, don't upgrade or whatever, right? But sometimes I ignore it. but that's okay. But for the most part, it's still... I mean, I get crashes, but not any more unusual than I used to.
Right.
So the one thing I like about that... still on my iPad 1 is it's not heavily buggy. It's slow compared to my iPhone 4. And, you know, when I showed one of our old co-workers, Derek, remember Derek Alphon?
Sure.
And he had like an iPad 2. And I was showing him, you know, something on my iPad 1. And he kept on pressing it. And I said, just be patient. I have an iPad 1. Takes a few more seconds. And, you know, that's a funny thing, right? We're all so impatient. I include myself, right? When you get the new device and it's so speedy and everything.
Right.
But and then you go to an older device and it's like, oh, wow. And it's like only a couple more seconds, right? But then you feel it. You know, you feel, oh. You know, it feels like you're dragging your feet.
Right. And yet most people, I won't say most people, but a lot of people, at least enough that, you know, we're seeing slower PC sales. We may be even seeing slower iPad and iPhone sales, you know, hence the Apple's price drop. Most people don't feel compelled by this slight slowness to spend another, you know, $500-$600 on a new device.
Well, yeah, especially outside of this country, right? In the U.S., most of the phones are subsidized. Well, for most people. But outside of the U.S., they're not.
Right. Well, but, you know, for the unsubsidized stuff, or especially for the unsubsidized devices like the iPad, you know, like notebooks and desktop PCs, there's, you know, you're going to be spending $500 to $1,500 on a device to upgrade. And if your old machine is, you know, maybe a little slower than you would like it to be, but not so slow that it's unusable, I think there's a real reluctance to upgrade.
Well, you know, I didn't get the iPad 2.
Yep.
But I wanted to get the iPad 3 so badly. I went down. I was almost about to buy it, and my wife said, no, think about it. So I went home. I was a little angry. But I thought about it, and I kept on debating, do I get it, do I not get it, do I not get it. And then what I did to myself was I thought about, what do I use my iPad for? What do I think I'm going to use my iPad for? And is there anything that I really need that I can't do it with it right now? It's a little slower. There's only one app that I'd like to have on it that it doesn't work.
What's that?
It's an AutoCAD.
Okay.
That lets me read. It lets me look at AutoCAD files because I'm a civil engineer. So I'd like to be able to, someone send me an AutoCAD file, and I'd like to be able to look at it as an AutoCAD file on my iPad. But my iPad cannot handle that app and the file. It's just not capable. But other than that, would I like to have FaceTime on my iPad? Maybe. But I have an iPhone 4 now, so I don't need it. I don't really need to upgrade. And I looked at myself and how I use it, and I said, well, until I can, it's too hard for me to justify buying something new if I can't. If there's no real reason for me not to, because it works fine for me. For everything I need to do every day, I probably get more out of my iPad 1 than I think most people get out of their iPads.
Yeah, I remember how you used to use your iPad. I mean, you used it for pretty much everything.
Yeah, but I don't have a laptop. And I did that on purpose. I was about to get a MacBook Air. Not before the brand new ones came out, you know, the one like you have.
Mm-hmm.
But like the older one. Because I wanted something light, portable, that I could take with me on trips and everything. I wanted Mac because I have a Mac at home. And I almost bought one, but it was just too pricey. It just didn't have all the specs I wanted. And when I saw the iPad 1, I went, that is exactly what I want. It's portable. It can do pretty much most of the work that I need to do when I'm traveling. And I ended up, I end up using it as a second computer. So for me, I actually prefer to use that for some email than my computer. It's faster for me.
Wow.
Yeah, so what I'll do is I'll have my computer and I have like other work, you know, like a report or AutoCAD drawing or something like that, right? And I have two screens already at work. And then I might have my iPad on the side, and as I'm, because my screens are full. I mean, when I work, I have maybe 20 apps running, 20 applications. I got Excel, I got Word, I got Outlook, I got stuff in, I got like maybe 15 tabs in Explorer. I mean, I have a lot of things going on at one time for the kind of work that I do. And I'm switching between different apps a lot most of the day. And I'll have my iPad on the side and I'll get notices, you know, for my email or whatever, right? And then I'll look at it, and then if it's really quick kind of email, like a short response, I would respond on my iPad. Versus, I mean, it's like I need three screens for work, in reality, for me. You know, people might think, hey, that's crazy, you're not working efficiently, but I don't want to have to close down my AutoCAD and then yes, move it around just so I can answer an email.
Right, I know what you're saying.
I'd rather just, okay, here, da-da-da-da-da, look here, or this is what we're going to do, and I'll respond directly with my iPad. And I even do it when I put my iPad on, you know, it's underneath my drawings or something. You know, I mean, I got a full-size engineering drawings or whatever, and so I have my iPhone, and I'll flip it out, and then I'll respond by email that way. So, to me, it's I don't know if it's more efficient, but it's a more...
It's a better workflow.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll just have it on the side. And sometimes I'll even, if I'm drawing a lot in CAD, You know, because CAD is a big resource hog on a PC, on any computer. And I don't want to close it and I have multiple drawings open. Like, say I want to research something or figure out how something's spelled, I'll just use my iPad. Because the app is quicker. Like, you know, dictionary.com app.
Right.
You know, or something like that. It's just faster.
Yeah, you're right. There are some things that are just better on the mobile side. Checking weather, checking, you know, reference materials, spelling, Wikipedia, that kind of stuff. It is faster. Just grab your iPad or Android tablet or whatever you have and do it on there than, you know, flipping around your desktop and trying to find an open window.
Yeah, basically. You know, so, I mean, I still work a lot like that. I mean, like how I worked at our old company. Because I just got used to it that way. I started to realize that I could use... I had a third screen. You know, you feel like you can never have enough screens.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean. I mean, at work, I do something similar. I have, you know, I have two screens open. Two physical displays connected to my computer. But I'll often have my iPad sitting in front of the keyboard. Kind of like where a trackpad might go or a magic pad might go for a Mac user. And the iPad just there, and I kind of look down and look stuff up and do a few messages or something like that. It's faster than, like you said, shuffling around a desktop.
Yeah. Because a lot of times when I work, I need my whole two screens. Like Excel, I have to, like with the calcs I have to do and things like that, I might have three spreadsheets open at one time. And they're linking to one another. And I'm copying from one another. So I'll take my two screens and I'll expand my Excel window to it fits both screens. So I can have as much of each Excel file open as much as I can see. Because some of my spreadsheets are just huge.
You know, and that's an interesting point you just brought up. You know, especially, I assume you're running Windows at work.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes... has there been even any discussion in your office about upgrading to Windows 8? I bet not.
No, but they've talked about Windows 7.
Oh, he's still on XP or Vista?
Most people are on XP. We didn't do Vista. We totally skipped Vista.
Yeah, which was a good idea.
And my company, they don't upgrade every iteration. They evaluate it, and they might do every other.
Right.
Right, it's just too costly, right? Because you have to go and you have to buy all the licenses and you got to make sure all the computers can run it. And then you're going to have they don't really train you, but then you're going to have that lack of productivity.
Right.
Because people, you know, not everyone is at the same computer application level and expertise. So you're going to have some people who adapt much better at it than others.
Yeah.
And even people who have a lot of computer savvy, they may not work really well in the new environment.
Right.
Even though they worked really well in XP.
And, you know, the problem with Windows 8 is that it is so dramatically different from everything that precedes it. Is that your whole workflow will change. I mean, even if you're still working with legacy software, that means, you know, anything that runs in Windows 7. It's just a very different way of working, and I think that that's a big problem for Microsoft, that enterprises especially simply don't want to upgrade to Windows 8 because it breaks the workflow.
Yeah, I mean, Windows 8 to me looks good and everything. I think it's a cool concept that they want to try, but I don't see how it's useful.
Yeah, it doesn't buy you anything.
Compared to even, I don't know, I don't even understand the beauty of Windows 7 versus XP.
Oh, now that makes a difference.
Really?
Yeah, it does. Things like smart folders really help you organize your work much better, in my opinion, anyway. Not everybody uses these features, but I do, and it really makes a difference for me.
See, I never had it, and I have a Mac at home, and then I never had it at our old workplace.
Right.
I still don't have it. I saw people use it, and I was curious, but then it was, you know, it... And I tried it out on... we had to use those kind of computers on that, you know, that Atlas project we had to do.
Right.
So, I mean, I just didn't care for it because it was so different for me. It was kind of a struggle.
If you thought Windows 7 was different, Windows 8 will simply stupefy you, I think.
Windows 8 is like Windows Phone, right? It's the tiles.
It is. Oh, yes, it is. I mean, basically, it uses what used to be called the Metro interface, and I think it now is called the modern UI. But the problem is that, you know, while the Metro interface, the tiled interface, works really well, I think it works really well on Windows Phone 7. I haven't tried Windows Phone 8. Expanding that to a 21 or 27-inch display is just not a good idea, in my opinion anyway. It's kind of like, you know, I don't think you really want to run iOS on your desktop either. You know, with one big window for everything, and, you know, task switching is kind of difficult, and, you know, especially the way you and I work with, you know, like you said, you have a spreadsheet, you might have a Word document, you'll have a whole bunch of tabs in Explorer, and you're flipping around between multiple applications and tabs in an application and multiple spreadsheets. It is super difficult to do that in Windows 8 Metro. You can still do it on a desktop. There's still a desktop, but I think that, you know, again, Windows 7 is simply good enough, and in fact, for some of us, better than Windows 8. At least because we're still, you know, we still are stuck, so to speak, with legacy software. In fact, Microsoft itself doesn't have a version of Office for the Metro UI.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture. Yeah, it does look a lot like Windows Phone.
Yeah.
All these tiles. Yeah, you know.
Right.
See, they're not integrated.
Right.
See, a lot of people are haters of Microsoft, and I'll admit I'm probably one of them. Because I just... There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff, just like Macs or whatever, in my mind. There's good and bad. But with any system you use, but I think the thing that they come out with this thing, right? Windows 8. But they don't have Office. It's like, okay, look at iOS. I'm not saying Apple's better, but it makes sense to me. They come out with a new iOS version, right? Shortly thereafter, they upgrade iWork. You know, like Pages and
right.
The iOS version.
Right. Actually, I think it was available on day one of when the iPad came out anyway.
Yeah, it was. Those were like readily available.
But yeah.
Even when they upgraded, when you upgrade the iOS.
Right.
They'll upgrade the app.
That's true. That's true.
They'll, in some cases, you have to upgrade the app. That's the one thing about Apple, right? They kind of force you to do certain things.
Although, you know, on the OS X side, Apple hasn't upgraded iWork or iLife in 3 years, I think.
But why should they?
Well, that's the question. No, but that's the question. You know, for example, and maybe it's the difference between, you know, Apple as a mostly hardware company and Microsoft as a mostly software company. You know, most of Microsoft's revenues comes from, used to come from Windows. You know, they haven't been making as much money as they have because of the upgrade problems. But the cash cows are really the server stuff and Microsoft Office. So, and, you know, Microsoft Office hasn't been on a real speedy upgrade schedule. You know, I think, let's see, there's Office 03, 07, 11, and 13. So, you know, every couple of years. But Microsoft depends on Office in particular for, you know, a very steady, stable, and in fact, growth revenue stream. But Apple has not kept up with their software apps for OS X the way they have for iOS. So iWorks is looking kind of old. You know, it's got some compatibility problems with Office, you know, Microsoft Office, in terms of file types. iLife hasn't really been updated much, you know, with the exception of maybe the iPhoto thing. iTunes is in desperate need of overhaul. I mean, they overhauled the UI, but they really haven't changed. It's no faster than it used to be, in my opinion. So, you know, Microsoft, Apple really hasn't paid attention to their at least their desktop apps, although they have on the iOS side and the mobile side.
Yeah, and actually, to me, it makes more sense in that. I mean, if you look at where the revenue comes from, it's on the
right,
mobile side.
Right, right.
So that made them, it makes sense. It seems logical to me. And that they would do it in that way, right? But what you're saying about Windows, right? Windows is not a big player in mobile yet, compared to like Android or compared to iOS, right? So, but there's big player in PC. You upgrade your PC operating system, but you don't upgrade your your office? And they're a software company. I mean, that's the thing doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it.
Right.
This integrated push.
Right. And just to be clear though, I mean, they did upgrade Microsoft Office. In fact, you know, Office 2013 is the current version. But the problem is they, like you said, I think what you're getting to is that they haven't made it a Metro or modern UI.
Yeah.
For the tiled Windows 8 interface or Windows and RT also.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said about trying to have your apps work with that system.
Right.
You know, you're going to promote the new system. You want what people rely upon to be compatible with that system and have that same kind of look.
Yeah. But, you know, it's more than that, especially in the Windows 8 thing, 8 universe, I should say, is Microsoft Office has a Microsoft. People who use Microsoft Office, I think, you know, have their own idiosyncratic workflows, whatever that might be. You probably work with it differently than I do. But regardless of our differences, I think we probably all flip between Word, Excel, maybe PowerPoint every now and then, Outlook. And by flip between, I mean we have Windows open and we're clicking on the tabs at the bottom of the screen and we're copying and pasting stuff in between, you know, say Mail and Word and Excel and Word and so forth. That is really difficult to do in a Metro UI.
It looks like it. I don't know how you do that.
Because in general, you're working with one giant screen, like on a tablet. Even if you have a 27-inch display, you're working. You can open a second window pane, a vertical pane. You know, so like for me, you know, I might have, say, Explorer in a big part of the window and a little pane with maybe Twitter on it or something like that. But it's really not conducive to, say, copying and pasting between, you know, say you're setting up a table in Excel and then you want to copy and paste that table into Word and maybe copy and paste it into PowerPoint. It really is not, you know, if it were in Metro, which it's not, it would really not make sense, which is why, in a sense, having Office 2013 work in the desktop, you know, the legacy mode in Windows 8 or Windows RT is actually better. And I'm kind of glad they don't have a Metro UI version yet.
Well, in my mind, it tells me that the Metro UI is just, it has certain drawbacks.
It does. I mean, basically, you know, I was just thinking about this morning when I was thinking about, you know, this topic is Metro UI in a lot of ways is like a throwback to DOS.
What?
You know, when you think about it, in DOS you had one window, right? You launch Word or you launch Lotus 1-2-3 or whatever you were using at the time, and that owned your screen.
Okay.
And, you know, you couldn't really do anything else. Maybe if you had Borland Sidekick installed, you could, you know, have a little notepad up or a calculator or something.
Right. I remember. Oh, man. But why? It takes me back, Todd.
But that's essentially what the Windows 8 Metro UI is. It takes over your whole screen. You're very limited in terms of what you can do in addition to that screen. Right? Flipping back and forth between tasks is not... it's not optimized, in my opinion, because you always have to, you know, let's say you're in, I don't know, something that runs in Metro UI. You know, you're in Internet Explorer and you want to, you know, go to Evernote and take notes. But you don't want to do it in a little tiny vertical pane. I mean, you can scroll back and forth, but that means that now you got to tug on the window to resize it every time you go between Internet Explorer and Evernote. And it's just a giant pain, in my opinion.
I assume you've tried this.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, although I haven't upgraded to Windows 8, my desktop and notebook, I did buy a Surface RT last year. And so, you know, I've been using Metro every day, you know, trying to get a feel for it since last October, whenever the Surface was sold. So I've had months of experience doing this and, you know, trying to kind of think this through.
So is the desktop version of Windows 8, would it behave similar to Windows RT?
Yes, it does. The only difference, and they look identical. The only difference is that Windows RT cannot run legacy Windows x86 software. So, for example, if you have Quicken or you have, you know, if you have AutoCAD or you have Photoshop or any of those kind of things, it will not run under Windows RT. until they come out with a version for it, and none of them have. So you would have to go to Windows 8 for that, and you know, run into legacy desktop mode, which can run the old software.
But so maybe from what you're telling me, maybe it doesn't. Maybe they did make. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe they did make the right choice and not make a Metro UI Office.
Well, I don't think it was a choice. I think they, you know, it is so difficult to deal with that UI. Apparently, Microsoft couldn't do that. Could do it themselves.
Well, why? Then why do this UI? I don't get it. Why bother doing it?
Well,
it's almost like the same kind of criticism people have of like iOS, or people have criticism of OS X.
Right.
It's like people, oh, it looks old, and it looks starting to show its age, and blah blah blah. My thinking is, I just look at, is it functional? Does it work? Does it do what I want to do? If it doesn't, then I have a problem. But if it does, I don't really have a problem.
Well, I think...
So why would they do that?
Yeah, I think I know the reason. The reason is they needed a competitor specifically to the iPad, not so much the iPhone, because they've already blown that chance. But they thought they could, you know, in a post-PC era, they wanted to have a post-PC solution. The problem is, I think, that Microsoft Windows is, you know, 8 or otherwise, is simply not suited for a lightweight environment, which is why, although Apple, you know, you might remember Apple took a lot of heat for not putting OS X on the iPad.
Yep.
Although, you know, people say iOS and OS X are really the same thing. You know, I don't think so. But in the end, I think in retrospect, I think we all look back and say, yeah, they knew what they were doing, because it wouldn't make any sense to have OS X on an iPad. Mm-hmm. You know, it wouldn't make any sense to run the OS X apps on an iPad, because it just wouldn't make sense with just a finger versus, you know, no keyboard and mouse and trackpad and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true for Windows 8, is that the legacy desktop environment simply doesn't fit on a tablet well. Metro UI was an attempt to fit it, but they ended up with a split personality where you have a desktop for some things and a Metro UI for other things, and the two really don't integrate at all. And the loss of the start menu for the desktop is just ridiculous, in my opinion. So you can't even...
Why?
Well, how do you launch apps or applications in Windows, you know, 7 and earlier? You go to the start menu.
Yeah.
Or you click, you know, I guess some people click on the desktop, but most people go to the start menu and go to the menus, and, you know, there's various ways to run an application. But in Windows 8, you press the start menu, it'll flip you between Metro and the desktop.
That's just weird.
Yeah. And if you want, you can put legacy Windows application icons on the Metro UI and launch it from there and take you back to the desktop. But it's
like
really
a bookmark.
Yeah, but it's really clunky, because you have to scroll, you know, horizontally, like pages and pages, to find what you want. And organizing things in the tiles is not very easy, in my opinion.
They don't have folders?
Not that I'm aware of. There might be, but, you know, that's the other thing about Windows 8, is it's almost impossible to discover stuff.
Kind of like a Mac sometimes.
Well, at least the Mac has menus. You know, there's no menus in the Metro UI.
What?
There's no menus. You have to swipe to, you know, for things to appear on the side of a screen or top of the screen. It's kind of like being in...
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I call a Harry Potter design, where you have to know gestures and incantations to make things happen.
That's so bizarre. Because, you know, on a phone, the thing looks so elegant to me.
And it is. And in a phone, the Metro UI makes sense. I mean, I used a Windows phone from October 2010 until this January. So, you know, not quite, actually more than 2 years. So I used a Windows Phone 7 for over 2 years until I switched back to Android. And, you know, I like the tiled interface a lot. It makes sense on a phone. It doesn't make sense on a desktop, at least the way they did it. It could make sense, but not the way they did it.
Mm. Yeah, so in a way, it goes back to how do they integrate?
Yeah.
How are they thinking about the whole process?
Yeah. But, and it goes back to, you know, our original theme for this talk is that Windows 7 is good enough.
Mm. Yeah. Just like, you know, I've upgraded to Mountain Lion. Mountain Lion's the latest one, right?
Right.
I didn't need to. I just did it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And, you know, in fact, I skipped Lion on everything except one Mac. After I upgraded to Lion on my iMac, I hated it so much I didn't upgrade it on any other device. Mm. But when Mountain Lion came up, it fixed a lot of the issues I had with Lion, so I upgraded everything. But in any case, we've been yakking on about our topic of when old tech is good enough. And I think, you know, although we wandered around the topic a bit, we basically, I think we support that theme that old tech is good enough. And that's a big problem. That's a problem for Microsoft. It's a problem for Apple. It's a problem for a lot of people who would prefer that we buy their latest and greatest software and hardware. And as you and I, you know, I don't know if we're typical users. Maybe we're not typical. But if we're on the edge, then it's really bad because as edge, you know, as kind of power users, maybe we're not all that interested in buying anything new at the moment.
Well, it's expensive.
It is.
It's not cheap. You know, I only got so much money.
Yeah, especially at the desktop and notebook range, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Right. I mean, let's put it this, what is it? When we got married, my wife and I had an IBM PS2.
I remember that.
And the hard drive didn't work.
What?
Yeah, it like something failed. Something didn't work right. And so I booted everything from disk.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
That sounds painful.
Actually, I did all of our wedding stuff in WordPerfect 5.1. With two floppy drives.
Wow.
PS2.
Old school.
Yeah. Old school. And it still worked. And we couldn't afford to get a new computer. So I think we put the invitation list. We put the... We did the program. And it wasn't to... Shoot, after we got... A little bit after we got married. And then wait... I forget when. Then we got an Aptiva. Maybe a couple years later. And then a couple years... Like a year or two later, we moved, and then when I plugged it into our new house, it exploded. So, okay, we didn't have a computer for a while, and then we bought an HP, and then we used that forever, and then we got a Compaq. I mean, we don't buy computers very often because it costs a lot of money. And so this is probably the longest that we've gone without upgrading a computer, but not unusual. I mean, we go for 4 years or so. We've been married for 20 years. I've only changed the computer like 4 times. Compaq, HP, iMac. Yeah, we've had, in 20 years of marriage, we've had 5 computers.
And I don't think that's unusual.
Nah. I mean, I would think most people would be like that.
Yeah.
Because they're costly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd sooner get a new phone than I get a new computer.
Right. And that's true for most people. But in any case, I'm going to wrap it up as we're hitting the 50-minute mark. This has been Todd Ogasawara with my friend Jay Stone. And this has been Mobile Views Podcast 62. We're talking about the topic of when old tech is good enough. And I think we think that's a big problem for a lot of companies, and their stock prices are showing it. Although Microsoft did show some pretty good results the other day, but it wasn't from Windows, that's for sure. Anyway, we'll talk to you next time.